Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. Hello, friend. This is Evangelist Joey Kelly. I'd like to thank you for listening to the program today. But before we get into the message, there's a couple of things I'd like to talk to you about. Acts chapter 18, verse 1 through 3 says this: "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and Paul came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers." You know that I rarely ask for donations on this program, and then only for missions work. But today I'm somewhat embarrassed to have to come to you. But the fact is, I have to make a living, and I have to pay my radio bill. Now, I'm not asking for donations. Let me say that again. I am not asking for a donation. But I do need your help in a way that will cost you nothing more than your normal expenses. As we just read, Paul was a tent maker and supported himself at times by practicing his trade. Like I said, I'm a computer guy. That's what I do for a living. I own Kellynet Computer Services in Jefferson Parish here in Metairie. And what I'm asking is, if your computer breaks, if something's wrong with it, or you need to upgrade it, or perhaps you need to purchase a new one, if you're like most people, you get the phone book, open the yellow pages, go down the list, and call one at random. But I'd ask, instead of calling someone else, that you'd consider calling me. My phone number is 504-239-6550. I have a commercial rate and a residential rate. My commercial rate is normally $100 an hour, and my residential, $75 an hour. But since the very beginning, when I started my company 5 years ago, I made it a point to charge half of that rate to churches. And I've done work for several churches in the area. If you call and say, "Brother Kelly, I heard you on the radio, I have a problem with my computer, can you look at it?" Then I will give you the rate that I charge churches, $50 an hour. And I think you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody to work on your computer for $50, except perhaps a trainee or something. Again, my number is 504-239-6550, and I thank you very much for considering me. But the second thing that I wanted to mention to you is this. I've been on this station, WSHO, for 2.5 years, and I've heard from quite a few of my listeners, and I'm humbled by the fact that many people look forward to hearing my program every week. The Lord has been very kind to me, and He's blessed my efforts to serve Him, and I'm truly thankful to Him for that. I believe the Lord has been moving upon my heart for the last several months to extend the ministry and to start an outreach of the radio program by holding weekly evangelistic services. These services would be on Sunday night. As you know, many churches have stopped holding services on Sunday evening. But I think that some folks would enjoy attending church on Sunday night if something was available. If you like old-fashioned singing and preaching, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, if you want revival and a move of God in your heart, then these services might just be what you've been looking for. As I said, these services are an outreach of the radio ministry. And every time I open the program, I quote from Jeremiah, where he talks about the old paths. So these meetings will be known as Old Paths Tabernacle. Now, I'm still looking for a place to meet. I'm still working out the details, but I'll keep you posted. And again, thank you for listening to the program. Thank you for praying for me, and may the Lord bless you. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 32, beginning in verse 1. "And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, This is God's host, or God's army. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Heavenly Father, once again, we come into your presence. And Lord, I'm believing you that you would speak to the people, that you would minister to the people, that you would reveal something to them out of your word, and that you'd strengthen them. And Lord, I'm careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. If you've been listening, you know that I've taken an extended detour from the book of Exodus. We had been studying in the book of Exodus, and we're in chapter 17, again, some time ago when I began to take a detour, talking about the spirit and the flesh. Exodus chapter 17 speaks of that battle that Moses had with Amalek, the man of God fighting against the man that typified or symbolized the flesh. And we should take God's example that he gives us and try to walk in the spirit instead of leaning on the arm of the flesh. We should try to trust in God and depend upon him and believe his word. Take his word at face value and believe it. And try to do what he says instead of using our own wisdom, our own understanding, instead of relying upon our programs and the way we've always done it, brother, or whatever. We should go God's way and not man's. This will be the last message that I teach on this series, The Spirit and the Flesh. I'm not done by any means. There's still many things in my heart that I want to bring to you. But I want to get back to Exodus. I want to get back to the historical record and perhaps take another tack or come at it from another angle. The things that I still would like to bring out, we'll do so from the historical record. And I believe that God has something for us. So next week we'll be back in Exodus, picking up at chapter 17 and going to the end of the historical record that's contained in that book. Chapter 25 to the end, we read about the temple of Moses, the tabernacle of Moses, the tent that he set up in the wilderness. And I think there's a great many things that we can learn when studying the tabernacle. I don't know if we'll get to that. I don't know if we'll take the time just now to study the tabernacle. I know that I will get there at some point, but I feel in my heart that we should go on into Leviticus, into Numbers, Deuteronomy, continuing to look at the high points, perhaps, in the historical record. As you know, when I teach, I look for the types. I look for the events, the names of the places, perhaps, the names of the people, the things that they did, looking for prophecies of the things in the New Testament. The word type, from the Greek word tupos, means something in the Old Testament that foreshadows the New. And obviously a great example of that is the Passover event, where God delivered his people Israel by the shedding of the blood of the Lamb. This foreshadowed what Christ did for us on the cross. When he shed his blood, it was for our sins, and we get to go free. The Jews, free of the bondage of slavery in Egypt. Christians, free of the bondage of sin. You can look at other things that we've covered. The waters at Marah, in chapter 15 of Exodus, they were bitter. The people were thirsty, they couldn't drink the water because it was bitter. But God showed Moses a tree, and Moses took that tree and chopped it down or whatever, and threw it into the water, into the lake or whatever it was. And the waters were made sweet, it says. This is a symbol of what God does for us. Perhaps we had a bad childhood. Perhaps we're in a marriage that's gone bad. Perhaps we have any number of things that have happened to us, and our life is bitter. But as we come to God, the cross makes our life sweet. The cross helps us and takes the bitterness in our life out. And instead, we find the sweetness and goodness of the Lord. And these types of symbols are found throughout the Old Testament. And with God's help, we'll try to find them in the historical record and see what God has for us there. But let's take a look at the passage that we're studying today, Genesis chapter 32. We find Jacob on his way, it says, and the angels of God met him. We should be on the straight and narrow. We should be on God's way. We should be striving to live for God, and God will meet us. God will help us. God will make our way plain. When we run into trouble and we call upon God, God can help us. But without getting into too much detail about the life of Jacob, it's necessary to understand a little bit about his life to understand what God is saying in this chapter. But again, I don't want to spend too much time on it. He had troubles in his life. He was at war essentially with his brother, and it had to do with the birthright. Jacob was in the lineage, as we say, the lineage of Christ. And there was a great struggle. And you can read the record, and I would encourage you to do so. But from the moment he was born, he was struggling, trying to get ahead. And his life was not perfect. His heart was not perfect. He deceived. He did things that were not honest. He tried to get ahead in his own power, in other words. But we find him on his way, and God meets him. In verse 9, we see him seeking God. We see him calling out to God. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac. You see, God's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and this man Jacob. The Lord which said unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies, and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. Notice his prayer. He said, I'm not worthy of the least of thy mercies. We should not be high-minded, but fear, Paul said. God is great. God is magnificent. He's holy. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He is all of these things. And we are unworthy. We're just sinners that God mercifully saved. And he did so when he sent his son to die on the cross for us. But he says in verse 11, Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother. God has deliverance for us. If we'll call upon him, if we'll invite him into our life, if we'll trust in him, read his word, see his promises, and depend upon him, God will deliver us. God will help us through. You say, help us through what? Any trouble that you have in your life. Anything that you find yourself stuck in. Any difficulty that you have, God can help you through. I want to say that again. If you turn your situations over to God, He will help you. He will make a way for you. And we can see in this passage here, that God made a way. But Jacob was on his way to see his brother. And again, he was essentially at war all of his life with his brother. The next day he would meet his brother. But that night he had sent everybody ahead, and he, it says in verse 24, was left alone. And it says, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Who was this man? We think it was an angel. He had met the host of God in verse 1. He sought God in verse 9. And then in the middle of the night, he finds himself alone, and a man comes to him and begins to wrestle with him until the breaking of the day. This is a picture, and again, the Old Testament is full of pictures, symbols, shadows, types, what have you. Jesus told about the widow and the unjust judge. The judge didn't care. He didn't care. But the widow had a need. And she went to him every day, or every week, or whatever it was, went to him again and again, perhaps for years, we don't know how long. And she said, avenge me of mine adversary. Judge, you got to do something to help me. And he didn't care. But she made himself a nuisance. And in order for the judge to be rid of her, he said, okay, I'll do what you ask. Just shut up, woman. Leave me alone. Now, this was a man that didn't care. But God is saying that God does care. If this man that didn't care could be nagged into doing what the widow wanted, God, who does care, will run to our aid if we call on him. I'm speaking of importuning prayer. Continuing to go before God, bringing your troubles to God. Perhaps you're interceding on behalf of someone else. But the point is, you go to God, and you go to God, and you go to God, continuing to trust in him. And he says here, in verse 25, wrestling with the man until the break of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched him in the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. The angel, the man wrestling with Jacob, realized that, hey, I'm not winning this battle. Now, this is an angel from heaven wrestling with a man. But Jacob was a scrappy fighter. He wrestled with that angel. And in verse 26, he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. I don't quite know why the angel had to be gone by daybreak, but apparently he had to do so. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And again, importuning prayer. The widow says, I'm not going to leave you alone until you do what I ask. This is a great lesson for us. We can call upon God. And continue to call. People sometimes will pray once, God didn't answer, oh well, must have not been God's will. That's not the approach that the widow took. That's not the approach that Jacob took in this chapter. If we know from the Word of God that what we're asking for is scriptural, and it's good for us, and we get to the point where we have to have God move, we can go to God in faith, tenaciously, importuningly, not wavering, and God will grant us what we need. Now, I'm not saying that if you think you need a Cadillac, you can go to God and confess a Cadillac. I'm not saying anything like that. I did mention the word scriptural. But God will help us when we call out to him. But we see in the next verse, verse 27, and he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. The backstory to this, his name meant deceiver. And through life, that's exactly how he lived. He grabbed his brother's heel, he stole his brother's birthright, he stole Laban's flocks, etc. Deceiver. You see, he had to get to the place in wrestling with God. He had to admit what he was. He had to say as Lazarus, O Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. You have to confess your sins. But he's faithful and just to forgive our sins. But then God said, well, we're not going to call you deceiver anymore. We're going to call you a prince with God. You see, this was a crisis event in Jacob's life. God worked with the man all of his life, trying to get the things out of him that were wrong, the things in his heart that were wrong, his ways that were wrong. And God will deal with us, trying to do something in our life, that we would forsake our own ways, the ways of the flesh, begin to trust in God's methods, and then see God's results. It says here, and hast prevailed. We can have victory. We can have success. We can have the blessings of God. As ministers of the gospel, we can have God's hand upon our life. We can have God's blessings in our church. The great power of God can be with us to preach the gospel. The convicting power of the Spirit, as we've studied in John chapter 16, can be with us to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's what the Spirit's job is. We can have God's hand in our life, but we must allow God to take the things out of our life that He's displeased with, and to stop leaning upon our own understanding, stop doing things our way, stop living a perhaps corrupted life, he was a deceiver, a thief, what have you, and come clean with God and live God's way, to do things in God's power. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. A simple verse, quoted many times, I've preached it many times. But this is wisdom from God. God will help us as we depend upon him. This event in Jacob's life is called consecration, when you dedicate your life to the Lord. Dedicate your ways, dedicate your ministry. He was going to meet his brother the next day as he crossed that river or whatever. He dedicated that meeting to the Lord. He put his trust in God and says, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen when I get over there. My brother wants to kill me. He's been wanting to kill me all my life. But I'm going to trust in you and go in your power. God wants us to be sanctified before him. We speak of sanctification in our life. We have positional sanctification. We're in Christ. We have progressional sanctification. Okay, now what? Now I'm going to read my Bible. Now I'm going to attend church. Now I'm going to pray. Now I'm going to hopefully find good teaching and allow the Lord to do something in my life, to show me the things in my life that are wrong, or what have you, to forsake my own way and to go God's way. We should trust in the ways of the Spirit and not the ways of the flesh. Next time we'll go back to Exodus chapter 17 and look at that battle one more time. And I encourage you to do like Jacob and forsake your own way. Give your problems to God. Give your difficulties to God. Put them in His hands. And then walk on with the Lord and allow Him to help you in your way. Lord, take You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.